present Dick Bentley, Jimmy Edwards, June Whitfield, and Wallace Eaton in The Glums, a typical domestic story of vulgar, moronic, and pathetic everyday folk, with June as Eth, Dick as Ron, and Jimmy is the awful Pa Glum. Today's story is entitled Pa Glum Courts Contempt, or Here's Another Fine You've Got Me Into, Eth. As usual, Pa Glum has been summoned to the bar, in more ways than one.
Now, Mr. Glum, drink up. I'm very pleased with yourself tonight, Mr. Glum. Usually when you come here, you got the miseries.
No, I left them at home on the sofa.
Oh.
If you wonder why am I spirited, Ted, I'll tell you why am I spirited, Ted. Look, you know my son, Ron.
Ron. Seem to remember him coming in here vaguely.
Yes, that's the way he comes in everywhere, yeah. Well, him and his fiancée, Eth, are engaged, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And for quite a few years now, Ron's been on at me to let him marry her. To which, of course, I've always refused. On the ground of he's not in a financial position, you see.
Oh, how is he placed, then?
Frankly, Ted, he's not placed at all, Ted. Frankly, between you and me and that bottle of brown ale, he's not placed. Financially, he can't even get to the starting gate.
Oh.
Anyway, Ted, I've noticed him and Eph whispering together about this subject of marriage. But I paid little heed to it till last week I received this.
Cool. Strike me rotten. A summons.
Yes, Ted. A summons, Ted.
Oh.
And not the normal non-payment of rate summons that all self-respecting householders get this time of the year. Just listen to what this here summons says.
Reading.
Take notice that Ronald Cribbin Glum has applied to this court for consent to his marriage on the grounds that you, being the person whose consent is required, have refused consent. You are entitled to appear and oppose the application, which will be heard on Friday at Abbotsbury Road Magistrates Court. Summons, by my own flesh and bone.
Oh, Mr. Glum.
Have you ever heard anything so shameful, so ignominious? Of course, I had to go. I shall never forget that Friday morning. Ron and Eth got to the court before me and waited on a bench in one of them anterooms.
His favourite punch, eh?
Then he's only got himself to blame. It's time he was told you're an adult now.
I have told him, Eth. I said quite firmly, look, Dad, you've got to realise I am now a grown-up adult with all an adult's desires and capabilities.
When did you tell him that?
When he was peeling the silver paper off my Easter egg for me.
Oh, well, if he's been told, then I've no sympathy for him at all. He brought the whole thing down on his own head, didn't he?
No, Eth. He brought it down on my head.
Not the Easter egg, Ron. The summons.
The summons.
That's why we've got to win this case. Now, before we go into court, beloved, are you sure you've got all the facts at your fingertips?
Yes, Eth.
All your arguments properly marshalled?
Yes, Eth.
No last-minute legal point you want cleared up?
Well, just one, Eth.
Oh, yes, Ron.
What exactly are they charging me with?
Charging you with anything, Ron. They're not charging anyone with anything.
Then what are we doing here?
We are here to prove to the magistrate that there's no reason why we shouldn't get married.
Oh.
Look, Ron. Look, Would it help you if we had a little rehearsal?
Oh, yes, Ed.
Ron, I didn't mean
go on,
that.
Ed, just a kiss.
Oh, we'll, no, Ron, not here. It's contempt of court.
Well,
you
we
mustn't.
Might as well get caught.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, what a touching picture. Oh, dear. Like a scene from a fairy tale. The two little ill-treated R. Dunbars, Anful and Grapple, paddling away in the corner from the cruel old farmer.
Mr. Glum, there is no call for you to take that attitude. I didn't ask for acrimony.
And even if you did, you wouldn't get a penny. Oh, when I think how I've treated you like one of the family, when there weren't enough pilchards to go round. Who was it went without so the death could have some? Who was it?
The cat.
Well, who fought the cat to get him off the saucer? And this is how you repay my hospitality. Very well. We'll see on whose side the sympathy of the law lays.
All right, we're ready for the next case. Call Ronald Glum.
Ronald Glum!
Ron, he wants us. That's... We've got to go into the court. Yes, come on, beloved.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, please.
All right.
Just take a seat. The old boy's on your case now.
Take the matter of the Glum application for marriage consent next. Is either of the parents present?
Yes, me lad. I am me lad.
Mr. Glum, may I point out I am not me lad?
You're not? Oh, dear. Well, he won't half catch it, mate, if he comes in and finds you sitting in his chair. You'll hop out of it, the scarper.
No, Mr. Glum, I am a magistrate. You will therefore address me as your worship.
Oh, sorry, I crave the court's indulgence.
Please sit down.
Now, look here.
Sit down, Mr. Glum.
All right. And they call this justice.
I would like to hear from the applicant for consent.
Ron, that's you.
What is it?
The magistrate. He wants to hear from you.
Oh. Hello, your worship.
Oh, Ron, you must step into that sort of booth there.
Just over here, Mr. Glum. Now, will you take this card, raise your right hand, and read what it says?
Card? Oh, no.
Well...
I've read them, your worship. What do I do now?
You're supposed to read them out loud. Read them out loud.
Right. Printed by the Hoxton Press, London, B1.
The other side of the card. Read the other side of the card.
Look, Mr. Usher, as this is an informal domestic matter, I think we can dispense with the swearing.
He wasn't swearing, sir. He's trying to help me. He said to...
Your worship! Your worship, may I be permitted to ejaculate an interception at this juncture?
What is it, Mr. Glum?
I would like the court permission to call a qualified handwriting expert.
Handwriting expert?
I can't read me notes. I had some margarine sandwiches in the briefcase and all the paper's gone all transparent like.
Mr. Glum, you must not keep on interrupting. Although this hearing is informal, this is not the Four Ale Bar.
And more's the pity.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, nothing.
Your worship, may I say that Mr. Glum is always browbeating like that?
Oh, like
he
that.
Won't listen, your worship.
Shut up.
Listen, what reason can he possibly have for not letting us get married?
Because you went and summoned me, that's what reason.
But Mr. Glum...
Besides, what you going to live on? Don't think you'll come in to stay with us. I can tell you that. There's not going to be three of us borrowing off Mrs. Glum.
Your worship.
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Certainly you may. In fact, you're the one we're most anxious to hear from. What is it you want to know?
Do you think it's all right if I put my right hand down now?
Now, young man, your father has made what appears to be rather a valid point.
Ah.
Do you understand what your being married entails?
No, I understood what I'm being married in a blue suit.
I'm referring to your earning capacity.
Oh, what
are you going to start married life on? Has either of you any kind of a nest egg?
I haven't, sir. I haven't even got an Easter egg.
Your worship, may I say that as it happens, I have got a nest egg.
You have what, eh?
I've managed to save a sum, your worship. Over the last 5 years, I've secretly saved up approximately 20... £20, 11 and twopence.
Well, why wasn't I informed of this 20 nicker?
Mr. Glum, you seem to look on this whole matter merely insofar as it affects you. My concern is for these two young people and their happiness.
Well, what's happiness got to do with it? We're talking about marriage.
Mr. Glum, I've just about reached the end of my tether.
I don't care.
I am going to grant the court's consent to this marriage. Ronald Crippin Glum.
Ronald. Oh, wake up.
I hereby swear to tell the whole truth and nothing
but... No, beloved, no, that's all finished with. Right. Your worship wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Ronald Crippin Glum.
Get it right, mate, get it right.
Crippin Glum.
By powers vested in me under the Guardianship of Infants Act 1925, I have pleasure in granting consent to your marriage.
Treachery!
Oh, wrong! Oh, nothing can stop us getting married now. We've got the permission and we've got the money.
Oh, eh?
I protest. Your worship, I most heartily protest. I shall lodge an objection with the stewards.
Mr. Glum, oh, don't be a bad loser.
Who's a bad loser?
Yes, well, if you go on like that, the magistrate will have you for contempt of court.
Contempt of...
Yes.
Wait a minute now. What did it say about contempt of court in my sixpenny law book? Oh, yes. Aha, Ron, my fine, clever son. I'm not done yet.
What do you mean?
Just let me have another word with your worship. Hey, sloppy chops! Sloppy chops!
If you're addressing me, Mr. Glum, I warn you, I shall hold you in contempt.
Not more contempt than what I hold you in, you bald-headed old barrister!
That doesn't. Stand up, sir.
Yeah.
I hereby find you guilty of gross contempt of court. And do you know what the fine for that is?
As it happens, I do know, yes, 20 quid.
Exactly. And if you haven't got it, you will go to prison.
Well, I haven't got it. So, Mr. Jailer, get your keys ready. Take me away and put me in your cold, cold, dark old dungeon.
Now, Jailer, now, here, don't let them send my dad to the nick.
I've got to go, Ron. I shall go to jail loaded with chains. They haven't got many chains there. I haven't got £20 to pay no contempt of court fine. I don't know anybody who has.
Wait a minute, Dad. Ed's got £20.
Ever's?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'd quite forgotten. Still, I can't ask her to spend all her marriage savings on keeping her future father-in-law out of prison, can I?
You know jolly well that you can, and I will. There's no alternative for me. I've got to. Here, your worship, take it. My £20 savings.
Oh, have I? I never expected you to do that. I would like to make an equally noble gesture. You now have my full consent to marry my baby boy.
But, Mr. Glum, what's the use of it now? Now you've had my savings, we're not able to get married.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear, funny how things turn out, isn't it?
That was The Glums, a recorded extract from Take It From Here, first broadcast on the BBC's live programme on the 24th of April, 1957. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, which was produced by Charles Maxwell. This edited version was prepared by John Browell.